The SDR was invented in late 1960s. In late 1960s. And then the international reserve currency was called, of course, the major one was the only one, 90% used by the world was US dollar. Well, with the US dollar. And the SDR was very much invented by the Americans, by the Treasury of, by the Secretary of Treasury. Why the US wanted to invent such a stuff? Now it has become its own enemy. The China wants to use something invented by US to end the dollar supremacy. If you think of the history, it's very interesting. Very interesting. But after all, can you figure out, just an educated guess, why it was needed? It must be needed. Otherwise, why would someone develop such a stupid stuff? It must be needed, right? The catchword here is liquidity. It's liquidity. In late 1970s, the world was in need of the US dollar. They need to use the US dollar. If you don't have enough US dollar, what could happen? US dollar is international money. You need to use US dollar at the international level. Right? If you don't have enough US dollar, then what could happen? You can't have international trade. Right? You can't have international trade because you can't have barter trade in the modern world. Right? But the US dollar, when the Federal Reserve will not print US dollar just because the world needs it. Right? The Federal Reserve will take into consideration mainly the US domestic economy, to control inflation, employment, and also to keep up with the growth of the U.S. economy. So the Federal Reserve will not the U.S. although U.S. has the kind of money printing power, but the U.S. is not responsible. It's not an irresponsible country. And the U.S. will also have to take into consideration its own domestic economy. And the U.S. couldn't issue more U.S. dollar to meet the international needs. And so there was a short of liquidity, short of paper money at the international level. Right? Then countries can't trade with each other. Not only that, if you want to buy stuff, buy goods, services, technology from the U.S., you need the U.S. dollar. And even between other countries, like Japan wants to buy some stuff from the Netherlands, you need the U.S. dollar. And so liquidity was a huge problem. And that's the background. That's why SDR was created in 1969 as the international reserve. So the U.S. said that we can't print too much money. We cannot print too much the box. And then, so we invent such an SDR. So so you guys, when you trade with each other, if you don't have enough US dollar, you can use SDR. You can use SDR, right? You buy stuff. If Japan wants to buy stuff from Germany, if it doesn't have enough US dollar, it could give Germany SDR. So international trade can be conducted. That's the background. Why the SDR was created? It was created as a money, as the international reserve asset, to supplement gold and the U.S. dollar, and then, of course, it could be used only by member states, by the IMF member states. It is money, so. Now you can we can be pretty sure about it that the SDR it is kind of money, but it could only be used by the member states. Could be only used as money by member states. It can't be used by us individuals. You can't say that I buy stuff from you, I have some SDR. You can never have any SDR. You can never have SDR. And in 1970s, the Japanese finance minister, when the Japanese finance minister visited the IMF headquarters, and he wanted the IMF managing director to show him where SDR is, stored. Because he thought the SDR might be something like gold, right? It's stored in the place. It's just artificially made international reserve currency, which virtually exists only in computers. In the computer doesn't exist, we don't even have a certificate of SDR. It's all computerized. But it could be used by member states as currency to pay each other. This is how the SDR was created. The ironic part of the story was, immediately after the SDR was invented, international liquidity was resolved. International liquidity was no longer an issue. Almost a few months after, because Japan and Germany emerged as exporting countries. Yeah. Why? That could solve the problem. And the US began to have a trade deficit. Well, that could resolve the liquidity problem. So the SDR became useless immediately after it was created. The original purpose was to resolve the liquidity problem, and shortly after it was invented, the liquidity was no longer a problem. Because Germany and European countries and Germany, their economy recovered, and they became exporting countries. Why is that? Well, think about this. Let's have a break, and I'll explain this to you later. After 10 minutes. 10 minutes. What question did I raise? Have you figured out the answer? The SDR is very important for the SDR. It's about why the SDR was immediately was forgotten, was ignored immediately, almost immediately after it was invented and developed. I told you all the facts. What I need from you is to connecting the dots. You can connect the dots with your common sense. When after the SDR was invented, Japan and Germany emerged as industrial powers, as important exporting countries. There are two ramifications for this. First, as exporting countries, they can get a lot of US dollar from the US. Right? The export, and the US became a trade deficit country. Right? So US needed to buy goods and stuff from those countries. Right? And with what do you buy? With US dollar. Right? So the other countries now have more US dollar to dispense. And the second implication is their currencies became harder and harder and be used by other countries as international reserve currency, as the kind of currency used for international trade purposes. Right? So that fact changed the history. Otherwise, yes, SDR would have been much more important today. So SDR was almost forgotten for many years until Dr. Du Xiaochuan proposed such a such an idea. And his purpose was to make noise, not really, does not really mean to replace the SDR, to replace the US dollar with the SDR. The SDR is now, the value of the SDR is now based on four international currencies, US dollar, euro, yen, and British sterling pounds, right? British sterling pounds, SDR, the total amount of SDR issued is 200 billion. The SDR are allocated to members according to their quota, their share in the IMF, so for free, no charge fees. No charge for this. The SDR, so how does it work? Is the IMF allocated, because it's man-made, you can create as much as possible. The more important is distribution, how you distribute it. The SDR, IMF allocates SDR to member states according to their quota. There has been a few allocations, general allocations and special allocations. So every country is entitled to hold a certain amount of SDR, and you can the holding of SDR is related to interests and charges. And how does this work? It basically means if the country within that amount allocated by the IMF, you don't have to pay anything, and the IMF does not pay you anything. But if you want to use the SDR, to use your SDR to purchase hard currencies from the IMF, well, of course, but not from the IMF directly. Let's say Greece, right? Greece is now in financial crisis, and Greece can use its SDR to financial crisis means I will explain this in the second part. We will go over the reasons and the laws relating to financial crisis in the second part of the course. But for the time being, you just need to understand one point about financial crisis. Financial crisis means you need money. Right? You do not have enough more money to meet the claims, to meet the debts, so we need the money. And how can you use SDR to help? You can use the SDR allocated by the IMF to purchase hard currencies from other countries from the through the IMF. So if you, let's say you need one billion US dollar. If you have enough SDR, you can tell the IMF, right, I want to exchange the SDR for US dollar. Then the US could, that very much depends on what currency you want, depends on the financial standing of the lending nations. For example, the IMF can designate the US to accept the SDR. Right? Greece is in need of US dollar, and so the Greece wants to give you to use its SDR to purchase US dollar, and the US will accept it. That's a legal obligation, of course, upon negotiation. The US will have more SDR, right? And the Greece will have US dollar. So the holding of Greece holding of SDR will be below its allocation, right? Allocated amount. The US holding will be more than its allocated amount. For this, Greece has to pay an interest. Has to pay something called charge, right? To the IMF, not to the US, to the IMF. You have to do this through the IMF, and the US will pay interest to. The IMF will pay interest to the U.S. That's called the interest, legally called the interest to the U.S. for its actual holding of SDR. So this is how it works within the IMF. The SDR can be used to purchase hard currency. It's not that the IMF has hard currency. IMF does not have hard currency. The IMF can designate a member to accept SDR. So this is how the SDR are allocated and are traded, right? Exchange of SDR for freely usable currencies. And you could also use the SDR for transactions between members and the IMF. So, for example, Japan, not Japan, Japan is not a good example. Let's say Indonesia, right? If Indonesia owes China a lot of money, because Indonesia imports a lot from China, and Indonesia does not have hard currency, and neither Chinese yuan nor Indonesia, what's the currency? Name of currency of Indonesia? Indonesia peso. Whatever it is, let's call it Indonesian dollar. Neither Chinese yuan nor Indonesia dollar is a hard currency, so you can't pay each other, you can't use your own currency. So Indonesia can see that I give you some SDR. So I can clear my your claims, I can meet your so clear my debts. And for this, China will have more SDR, and Indonesia will have less SDR. And for this, Indonesia will again have to pay some charges to the IMF. And Indonesia and the IMF pays interest to China for its extra holding of SDR. Will the IMF make some money here? Will there be differences between the charges and the interest? Of course, the IMF makes money here. IMF makes a profit. The IMF does. Countries do not pay membership fee. So how can the IMF survive? This is the only way the IMF makes money. And of course, other than by contributions by the member states, like gold. And the IMF, 2 years ago, the IMF sold a lot of gold. IMF is on deficit. IMF is actually on the verge of bankruptcy. Indeed. That's as an international organization with legal personality, it is on the verge of bankruptcy because it has been on deficit for several years. The deficit does not mean that it lends money to other countries. That will be repaid. It's on deficit because the administration cost is too high. So in IMF staff, the international organizations, they receive very good benefit. Very good pension, and very good salary. Their operating cost is too high. It's simply too high. To give you one example, I was an invited expert of the UNCTAD, the UN Conference on Trade and Development. And we had a conference in India about how to use international trade to resolve the third world poverty. And we were put in a very luxurious hotel, Shangri-La Hotel, and with a glass of wine in hand, talking about third world poverty. And in addition, we were given $90 per day, in addition to all the cost covered. I feel a little bit embarrassed. See, that's how the international organizations operate. Huge expense. So the IMF is on deficit for a number of years. And the IMF makes money this way. IMF does not. There's no annual membership fee paid by the members. You IMF survive on this basis. Get the difference. So the IMF needs what? In order to get the charges paid by the member states, you need borrowers. So people must want to borrow your money.